Thanks, everybody, for giving me this opportunity and for inviting me to speak tonight. This is an important part of my 12-step work to carry the message of experience, strength, and hope. And I'll just start by giving you guys a little bit of background about me. I grew up in a really, really small town of about 1,500 people. I have one sibling. And my life seemed really normal. Everything was normal, except the way that I felt about myself. And it seemed like I always stuck out. I always looked different. I acted different. And I just didn't fit in the way that other people thought I should. And this had to do with, you know, a lot of different types of behaviors, but one area of my life that I didn't fit in was around food. And I was also bigger than other kids. I was taller than my older brother. My shoes were bigger. My clothes were bigger. I was chubbier. Just, you know, everything about me was bigger. And I could always tell or feel like something was missing. I felt like there was just this piece that was missing. And I was always searching for this piece that was missing. It felt like, I don't know if it was, if I felt like it was, I looked for things that were emotional. I called myself an emotional eater. I called myself, I would go to therapy. You know, my mom sent me to therapy having to do with like weight loss and things like that. And, by the time I was maybe 6 or 7, I weighed 100 pounds already, and that was by second grade. And my mom was really worried about me, and she put me on a diet. And that was around 1986. And, that was just the beginning for me of lots and lots of yo-yo dieting and restricting and binging, purging. And one word that continually just keeps coming into my mind when I think about all those years of dieting is control. Control around food, control around people, control around my behaviors, and just trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And I would manipulate food, manipulate people. And I had a good number of enablers around me, like every addict really does. I behaved a lot like an addict well into my adulthood. And the only way that I stopped behaving that way was when I got to OA. You know, I'd go to therapy. I would look for ways to fix myself, you know, read intuitive eating books and all the books you can think of, food diaries, just you name it. I've tried it, every diet out there. I've done keto, paleo, just everything, and nothing worked. Nothing has ever worked. Controlling my food never worked for me because I'm an addict. And I was using food like a drug. It did things for me that a drug does for a drug addict. I was using it to comfort myself. I was using it to help me fall asleep at night. I was using it to try to control my emotions. If I was having a bad day, I would go to food. And there was even a time in my life that I was quite anorexic and bulimic. So I would try to manipulate food in those ways also, because I liked the euphoric feeling that I got from starving myself. So there are many, many aspects to this disease, and I have kind of explored all of them as a compulsive eater. So I've been up and down on the scale many times. And the feeling that I got from all the different types of compulsive eating that I was doing, those feelings that I would get are what I was constantly chasing. No matter what I did, I always felt like I was chasing it. So even if I was starving myself and feeling euphoric, that never lasted. There was always something that would happen that would make me fall off kilter, and then I would want to eat because I was obsessed with food, always obsessed with food, constantly thinking about food, and anxious and depressed all the time because there was that, again, there was something missing. It's just something that I was not getting out of my normal day-to-day life, despite the fact that I was raised, not super religious, but, I went to church, I went to Sunday school, I was confirmed, I was reasonably, brought up with religion. I thought that I relied on God. I thought I had that spiritual aspect to my life. I thought that I, had that aspect fulfilled. But what I came to understand when I finally hit rock bottom was that I was in a lot of denial. I was in denial and just a lack of self-awareness. I had no idea what I was doing to myself. It was the middle of the pandemic, like in 2021. I believe it was March of 2021 when I finally decided that I had had enough of the insanity. And I was starving myself and still gaining weight. And I was eating in secret, being dishonest with my family, and just hiding the food that I was eating, and gaining more and more weight. I was having trouble moving around, and I had gotten close to 300 pounds at that time. And I got that, what I call the gift of desperation, where I knew I had to do something, and I finally looked into OA, which a therapist about 10 years previously had told me about. And I went to some meetings, and I did find a sponsor, and she was a big book sponsor, and she explained that she had neutrality around food, where if she worked her program every single day, would have neutrality around food. And that is what I wanted. And she just said, well, if you want what I have, you have to do what I did. And that's just as simple as that. And when I took step three, I made a promise to God that I would do whatever it takes for victory over compulsive eating. And that was March 13th of 2021. And I have not looked back ever since that day. but I had to keep going from step three. I could not stop at that point. In step four, that was where I was able to put my finger on what was missing in my life. That feeling of not quite knowing what was wrong with me my entire life. The fact finding in step four and five, those steps, I was finally able to figure it out with my sponsor. We figured it out. And that's where I discovered that I could ask God to remove those defects of character in steps six and seven. But I had to be willing to let them go. And that was not as easy as I thought it would be. Because I still have to work on that every single day. Those character defects still crop up, and I still have to do 10 steps. Because I have those moments of selfishness and fear and all of those things that make me human. But I am taking action every day to right the wrong that I do. Any time that I have to make amends to people, I'm doing my best to make amends quickly. And I'm making a living amends to the people that I live with and the people that I've done the most harm to. Those are the people that I need to really, do the most work. Those are the relationships that I need to do the most work with, because people like my husband and my children, I had done quite a bit of damage on my way to rock bottom. I was very manipulative and very angry, and it was not a good situation. Many days with me in my compulsive eating disease when I was very, very sick. But I'm taking action. Like I said, I'm doing my, steps 10, 11, and 12 every single day. I do a morning meditation, to step 11 that, it sets my mind right. It sets me up for, my daily success. And that is the On Awakening on page 86. It says, On Awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. And this just puts me in the right frame of mind. And it goes on into the next page, to page 87. And I'll just say that the ways that these steps have changed my life, working with newcomers has changed my life. Just helping others who suffer the way that I have, sharing my experience, strength, and hope is some of the most important. That's some of the most important things that I do in this program. And I can't keep what I have unless I'm giving it away actively all the time. But I can say that my life now is very happy, joyous, and free. And I am free from the obsession that I've had with food. I am not obsessing over it. I'm not compulsively eating. I'm not manipulating food. Food is just something in my life that nourishes me I am managing my household. I'm able to care for my children in ways that I was never able to do before. I'm present. I'm listening. I'm not wrapped up in my own
5 minutes
selfish.
remainder.
Thank you. I'm not wrapped up in my own selfish, self-centered motives that I was wrapped up in before because my whole life centered around myself. My whole life centered around me and my food and the ways that I was manipulating it. And I would manipulate other people to do whatever I wanted them to do when it, especially when it came to food. And another thing I'll add is just that my marriage has improved so many times over. My husband and I used to have really long, drawn out arguments because I just would not back down ever. I had too big of an ego to ever let him win an argument, but that just does not happen anymore. I'm seeing so much good in my husband that I didn't see before. And I have gratitude. Gratitude for my marriage. I have gratitude for my children and everything in my life that I was just unable to see when I was wrapped up in my own self-seeking and self-centered motives. I'm just so much happier now. And I'm just living life in recovery one day at a time. And I only have this as long as I'm working my program every single day. I don't get this if I'm not working my program. And I have to keep coming back, just like everybody else. You don't get to step 12 and say, "Oh, I'm done. I don't need my sponsor anymore. I'm not going to have this obsession with food anymore," because once you let up on your program, that obsession comes back. We all need each other. This is a fellowship. This is a we program. We all need a sponsor. We all need each other. We need to do that outreach. We need to touch base with each other and keep each other accountable and go to as many different kinds of meetings as possible is what I tell the newcomers that I talk to. Just because you never know what you're going to hear at a meeting. I'm always amazed at the wonderful recovery that I hear at different kinds of meetings. and, you know, we just have to keep coming back every single day. It's coming up on 3 years for my recovery, and I would not trade my worst day in recovery for my best day before I got here. So with that, I will pass, and just thank you so much for having me tonight.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us. I'll stop recording. You can leave your phone number.